Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, people. Welcome to the No Bullshit Guide to Life with me, Bangs in a Bun in London.
And me, Lamara in New York.
Hello.
How are you? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm grand, man.
Oh, grand, lovely.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Good. Good week.
Testing week.
Okay.
But, you know, like King Kendrick, that great West Coast philosopher and poet said, we gonna be all right.
Just want to point out, less than 30 seconds in, we had a rap lyric. Gonna keep tabs on that today. Yeah.
Like, I'm down for rap poetry and philosopher lyrics for life, people.
All day,
but yeah,
all day.
Like King Kendrick said, we gonna be all right, and I'm just holding that as the mantra going through. So we'll be all right, Bangs.
Good.
We'll be right. What up?
Not a whole bunch, you know. I'm just kind of drinking, smoking, straight West Coasting. That's actual lies. I don't drink or smoke, and I only West Coast. I only West Coast on special occasions, but
Rap lyrics will do that to you, though. You'd be like singing along, like, actually, this is not my own personal
philosophy. It's not actually my life.
Philosophy.
Yeah.
But it's okay for this purpose and time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right, man. Yeah, life's good. Life's good. It's my birthday coming up this week.
Oh, is it?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just sliding that in
just
there.
Just sliding it in there. Just in case anybody wants to send me gifts.
Right.
Just open to that.
So, what kind of gifts are we looking
for? I mean, I'm really looking for three main things: cold hard cash, luxury holidays, or Idris Elba. Just if it's
simple.
Not one of those three things.
I'm just
keeping it simple. Do you know what I mean? Like, listen, I feel like people reach certain points in their lives. You know, people get married. You've got your wedding registry. People have babies. You have your baby showers. I'm saving you money because I'm not doing either of those things. So on a birthday, I don't feel I'm out of line for asking for Idris Elba. Just somebody line that shit up. Surely we've got a 6 degrees of separation thing going on in London where a friend of a friend will probably
somebody
know this guy.
Their brethren who knows him from way back when, because he used to go to the local corner shop and talk to you know who.
This is what I'm
saying.
If
you don't know Bangs, right, like, what, there's a word past a stalker / fanatic / whole appreciator / number one fan of man like Idris Elba. I've never met someone who falls into all of those categories at once and all at the same time.
Can't even deny that.
You.
I can't
if
even deny
someone
it.
Can make this happen, just know you've made this woman happy for the rest of her days on earth.
Just throwing it out into the universe, you know. Just
speak it into existence.
Just exactly.
Speak into existence. Cold hard cash, luxury holiday, or Idris Elba.
One of those three.
Simple. That's obtainable.
I mean, if you can't get me one of those three things, I'll settle for some cake. But, you know, just let's aim big is all I'm saying. Let's aim big. Yeah.
Okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah,
I feel good.
What do you want to call bullshit on this week?
Man, I'm gonna. This comes with a disclaimer. Having worked in retail, as we all probably have, having had a bad day and gone into my retail job, as you probably have, but that is no excuse, none whatsoever, to take that out on the customer.
Oh,
I'm calling shit. On people who work in retail and clearly give no fucks about you or want to entertain you in this thing called customer service.
Like, why are you in this job?
Or at least 1 minute and 25 seconds of our interaction in the day. Now, like I said, worked in retail, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're like, throw all the paper up into the air and the receipts and bun what you want to ask me. But you have to put on a face. Like, if you're going to be in that role and it's customer facing and you've got up to go into work today, lie, people.
Exactly.
Put the facade on. I just had a really bad interaction with someone this week. And I was just like, A, your vibe is totally off. B, I asked a really simple question and I didn't need to get this attitude back. And it makes me feel like, I don't feel bad for coming to that person asking the question, but like, why are you here? Yeah. It makes me vexed. It sets me off. Like, why are you here? You're clearly vexed. You clearly don't want to interact with me and you're just giving me like this roll of eyes and short terse answers. Like, I call bullshit on that. Like, don't, I wouldn't say like, fuck it, maybe, don't go into work. Just don't take it out on that customer. The person who just walked in to ask you something with your name badge on, that's not my fault, B. That is not my fault. You know?
I feel you. That's a massive pet peeve of mine. Also because I do kind of live by that philosophy of like, listen, whatever you're doing with your life, do it to the best of your ability. I don't care if you're flipping burgers at McDonald's or if you're running Apple. Like, you just do that to the best of your ability. And yes, I know we've all worked like shitty retail jobs that we don't want to do. We're just trying to pay the rent or whatever. But while you're there, I feel like having a stank attitude is... you're making the situation worse for yourself.
You're making it so much worse.
Yeah.
So much worse. You know, I've been in a retail job where I'm literally counting down the clock.
Ooh, haven't we all?
The time I get out, right? But that's still no excuse. And I think only, I say this also, like, it could just be purely retail or any customer service role. But I really try not to bring a negative attitude into the places where I work.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
I've possibly said this before. It doesn't serve me. Doesn't serve the people I'm around.
Doesn't serve anybody.
And it really, it shows when you're clearly not giving a flying fuck about who's around you, yeah, the vibes you're spreading, yeah, how angry you are. And you feel like you should impart that to other people.
Yeah.
You know? And if someone who's just like, I try not to do that. If I'm dealing with something, I try and, maybe that's a bad thing internally, but there's something to be said about just spreading that little vibe of negativity. You know, don't bring it my way, because I'm trying to start my day positively. I'm trying to get through my day positively. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to end my day positively. This little interjection of your bullshit, I'm not here for.
I feel you.
I'm not here for.
Also, so I want to say, for those people who are working in customer service, bear this in mind. You never know who you're going to be serving. That's what I would always think when I was working in customer service, is like, you actually never know. Like, you might have just been really shitty to someone who, if you had the right attitude, you never know where they're working. They might have brought you in on something really exciting. You never know. You know what I mean? So I just think it just pays to, as much as you can, and sometimes as hard as it can be, to be pleasant, you've got to just do it. Suck it up and do it.
There you go. Well, that's me, but would you call bullshit on banks?
Ha!
Funny you should say, Lamara, this week.
Talking about people who can't do the jobs right. Settle in, friends, and listen to this little tale of woe, if you will.
Run through the streets with a rose bag.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, I'm studying to be a Pilates instructor at the moment. It's turned into, quite rapidly, the bane of my existence. It's harder than I ever thought it would be. So as part of this, you have to study anatomy and physiology. My brain is not wired for science. My brain is wired for Drake lyrics. So, you know, I remember those. I don't remember things about... you know, the respiratory system and such like. It doesn't come naturally to me. So anyway, I've been studying away hardcore, like super hardcore, for the past 2 months for this anatomy and physiology exam. It was like an advanced level anatomy and physiology exam. This, I just want to say, this is the second time I sat it, because I failed it the first time. So this is my resit, and I sat it last Saturday, and on Thursday this week I get my results through. So I get an email saying, congratulations, you've passed your anatomy and physiology exam. So I'm like, yes, get in, because that shit was hard. Woo! Feeling all proud of myself. That lasted approximately 1 minute, 39 seconds until I got a second email through that said, oops, my bad. Ignore the last email. You didn't pass. You failed.
What? Who does that?
Mate. I really wanted to email back and be like, well, you just failed my sending the correct email exam. So I don't know. We're even. Like, What the?
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no. Bruh, facepalm.
You
facepalm.
Had one job. Like
one job.
You literally had one job there.
And like, how many people are in the world with your full name? Not a lot.
Come on. Like, I was distraught. I was like, the mockery, the level of mockery of that happening. Cool. Okay, I failed. Listen, I was pissed off for a solid 32 hours, right? Like, just mad at myself, mad at the world. Oh, it's so annoying. I worked hard. It was bad. But mainly, like, can you, like, I'm just mad that people have not yet. After, well, how long we had emails? I want to say maybe 20 years, and people still haven't mastered how to send a correct one to the correct person.
No.
I mean, can I email and be like, listen, no backsies, bruv. You sent me, you told me I passed. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, you could have.
I kind of want to say that.
For 1 minute and 39 seconds of your life, you were totally elated, and the moment was that you passed. You should have been like, Trading Rights Description Act of the exam says that the minute you officially say I passed, well, damn it, I passed.
I mean, you should have gone with your initial feeling if you feel I passed. Like, let's just, come on. So anyway, I failed the exam, God. Whatever. I mean, I'm going to have to resit it again.
Do it again.
But, you know, all that means, spinning this round into a positive, is that, first of all, when I do eventually pass this shit, I am going to be the most qualified Pilates instructor in the history of the world. So... Mm-hmm. Come see me, innit? Come see me
right.
when I've qualified, because I'm just going to... Woo, I will Pilates the fuck out of you. That's right. That Yo. Is right. If that's even a thing that's possible to do, no, I'm imagining shall be it. Doing and I
could, if anyone could do it, Bangs, you could do it.
That's right. That's right. But... Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm calling bullshit on. But what are you calling good shit on? Let's get around to that.
Let's turn that frown upside down.
Let's do it.
I call it good shit, right? On people who randomly smile at you walking past or during your day.
I love this!
No, like, this is
my favorite thing.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I will clutch my chest and be like, oh, I do it, but to get it back is something. Like, there's something maybe deep on how you just acknowledge people in different spaces that you can just say, hey, what's up? You good? You know? And I tweet a lot about, you know, the power of the POC head nod and whatnot. But there's something just about someone just being like, smile. Hey, how, you know, I get overly gassed when I see it happen. And maybe it's started happening more because the weather, you know, we're turning to spring outside here in New York. But someone just to smile and just turn your day upside and just make you feel like a little bit warm and fuzzy inside. Like, I love that. I call good shit on that. And more people need to do that. And I think, you know, what we've been saying, like, from my bullshit to my good shit of how your mood affects other people or what you, the vibes and the energy that you can spread, like, that little smile goes a long way. I've had it happen, like, 5 times this week. And I just sitting here thinking now, like, yeah, that's smiling
good,
back.
That
like,
is a
I feel
good. Like, stranger smiley quota right there, 5 times
right,
in a week. That's
right.
Good.
And, you know, the first time you're like, someone smiles at you, like, what am I wearing? Okay.
Yeah.
Have I got, you know, is there spinach stuck in my teeth?
Yeah.
If I was ever to wear a skirt, which is never going to happen, is that stuck in my underwear? Or some, you know, you think a little bit of the negative first. But then when you just like a simple smile, I'm like, yeah, cool. Right back at you. Let's all have a good day. Let's keep doing that to people. Like, I challenge anyone to smile at a stranger. And not think of it in a negative way, but just smile at a stranger. Yeah, yeah, that's my good shit.
Such a mood lifter. I love that.
Right? What yeah. about you, Bex?
My good shit this week is meditation.
Mm.
It's like a new thing I've discovered. no, it's a thing that's been around for quite some time, I understand. But it's new to me. I always kind of thought that I was not the type of person who could get into meditation or whatever. And I mean, you know, it's not... like I've just gone to India and done all of that shit. But I went to my second meditation class today and I'm really digging the vibes. Like, I'm quite proud of myself that I push myself to go into a space that I'm not necessarily all the way comfortable with in terms of just trying something new. I find meditation's a bit kind of like, I don't really know what I'm doing, a bit awkward. But I'm really pleased with it. Like, I feel like I, you know, I'm, I kind of today understood its relevance and importance and why people practice it and why it's an important part of people's lives. I think I'm kind of starting to understand that a bit more and its benefits and all of that. So yeah, I'm calling good shit on that because I'm just really pleased that I did it. And I want to keep trying to do it some more. I don't know if I'm going to...
turn out to be a badass yogi?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... It's not something at this point that I can do by myself. Like, these classes I'm going to are obviously kind of like guided meditation, which really helps me because, you know, having somebody to kind of quite literally guide you through it is really useful. So I don't think it's one of those things that I'll just be able to like sit in my, well, not yet at least, sit in my house and just, you know, zen out. But I've really enjoyed the experience the past couple of weeks of just trying something new and trying to get to grips with it. So I call good shit on that.
Massively. And I think that, you know, I had started, shout out the Headspace app, actually. If you can get past the 10 days instructional where they're sitting, well, they're just simply talking you through how to meditate. But I totally relate to that in terms of, A, trying something new, but then also doing something to kind of alleviate you in to a certain capacity of your thoughts. Hi, my name's Lamara, aka I'm an overthinker for literally the past 27 years of my life so far. So anything that's gonna tap me out of that or try to help me get out of that, I'm all for. I've heard meditation works, like people have been trying to get me into yoga. I went for a run for the second time in a week this morning, and halfway through I was like, oh my god, you're happy. Oh my god, there's some good thoughts running around your brain right now. Like, anything that you can do. I'm learning what we were just saying before was just like, physical health is one thing, totally. But the reason I think I started running, I want to try and get back into it, is to alleviate me and give me good mental health or better mental health, you know? Mm. So things like that, where you're taking the time to work on you, mentally and physically, and kind of just get to grips with yourself, I'm all for.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
me too.
Cool. Brap, brap.
Yeah.
Oi, yo, bangs. I think we're gonna get into this one, right?
Oh god. Okay.
We're gonna do it.
People,
this is the No BS Guide to Life. This is two brethren talking about things that go on in their personal day-to-day, moments of inspiration. And this is something we've been trying to, like, tackle, or we probably talk about privately and now bring it to a public audience. It comes with a disclaimer, and by no means am I saying I'm the authority on anything I have to say. This is my opinion. Part of it's going to be my experience, right? But no, go with the disclaimer. Go with the disclaimer, Bangs. Because we're going to...
Okay, people... Okay, basically, you got to buckle in for this discussion. You got to strap yourselves in. And some people may be offended by some of the issues that come up in this particular discussion. But we want you to know, me especially, that these are important conversations to have. And until... we can have them freely and fully, and in what we consider a safe space, we're not really going to be able to progress in any meaningful way. I think we kind of just need to get into it, really, in order for people to understand why we're giving that disclaimer, right?
Go.
Okay.
Go. What had happened was...
So what had happened was, which is, okay, so this little story I'm about to tell you is why Lamara and I initially had this conversation that we're going to have today.
Yeah, but also, so like, let's go with the title of this week's show. Before that, fall back, don't drag me. Okay? Go, Bangs. Go.
Okay, so... I gave a talk. I was asked to give a talk on International Women's Day. By an organization, and the title of the talk was all to do with female entrepreneurship. It was celebrating women and how we feel, things that we've learned throughout our careers. So I gave the talk at this particular organisation, and it went down really well. And I decided to do a blog post about that experience, which kind of summarised the talk that I gave. And essentially, I gave kind of three main things that I'd learned along my career journey, and just kind of summarised them in this blog post. And I kicked this blog post off by saying, "Dear women, owners of uteruses, kickers of various arses, blah, 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 blah," you know, kind of a big kind of little bit of a call to arms type thing. And then went into my blog post with my three things that I've learned throughout my career. And put that up on my blog. And I got two comments.
Uno, dos.
Fairly quickly. One on the blog itself, one on the Facebook page for my blog. And basically both said, basically like, cool story, but not all people who identify as women have uteruses.
Sips tea.
To which my response was kind of like a big sigh. And I didn't reply in comment form on my blog or on the Facebook page to that, because I just feel it's too big a discussion, and it just ends up being entirely too messy and everything gets misinterpreted. But I kind of came, my starting point was just a big sigh and an eye roll, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to be like, did you make it past line one, or did you read the rest of the post or whatever? One of the other comment mentioned how the organizers of the event had made a mistake in calling it a female entrepreneurship day, because the term female may not include all women, or something like that, something. Okay, so this is where, listeners, I'm sure you can appreciate how delicate this is about to get, and why I'm going to just wade in here and say I may offend some people. So here is my stance on that. Basically, yes, I understand that perhaps all people who identify as women may not have uteruses. However, I don't think it's unfair or unreasonable to point out that the vast majority of us do. And while I am very pro women, and if you want to identify as a woman, jump on into the pool, the water is warm, I welcome everybody. However, you are not going to tell me that I, as a biologically born woman, cannot refer to my uterus in relation to my own womanhood, and as a way to relate to other women. Now I can't bring up my uterus. I can't talk about my womb. I can't talk about my breasts. I can't talk about things that I feel biologically and fundamentally make me a woman. I understand that that may not be the experience for everybody who identifies as a woman. And I'm also going to point out here, I don't believe I've ever met a transgender person. I do not understand their experience. And I think to pretend that I do, imply that I do, or voice an opinion online implying that I do, is to do them a great disservice. I do think that people who are getting offended on behalf of the transgender community are doing them a disservice, in a sense where it's like, I'm sure they are able to voice those opinions themselves. I think people who are transgender, it's a very complicated issue that I am okay with saying I don't fully understand. And I think the main issue that we're getting to today is, like, in the instance of this blog post that I wrote, sure, I don't think the women who commented on it, be they biologically born women or transgender women, I don't know. Those people who commented on it, I don't think they were necessarily trying to take me down. I didn't feel attacked by those comments. But I did feel a bit like, okay,
where do you go with this?
Where, like, what do you want me to...
What do you want me to do? And, like, know? I remember, like, I've sat with this in the context of what we're going to talk about, and then when we initially talked about it, and I've just thought, like, at no point did you say explicitly, all women, bracket, transgender women, you're not included.
Right, exactly.
Like, so to be dragged for that or commented on that, it's like, not at one point in anything did you say, I'm not talking to you, this post is not relevant to you.
Exactly.
And I wonder, and this is where it gets tricky. This is really where it gets tricky, because there's a lot of things here to do with, dare we say, when you start the conflation of, like, race and gender, right, reducing the intersectionality of it all and how each merits each other, and but are we pinning one above the other? And that's a whole nother, like, theoretical debate. But are we at the time where we've gone, political correctness gone too far?
This is what, right? I'm saying, yeah.
Are we there? Is that a good place to start, in that you didn't deny anyone else? You didn't explicitly say, this is not for you. For someone to clap back and drag you for saying, you didn't include me, hold on, wait, I wasn't saying that. Do we get a chance of political correctness gone too far? Are we doing the, well, all people matter?
Yes.
All lives matter. When we're specifically talking about one thing. Now, call me out if I'm making a very spurious link here, people. But how I then interpret it is, like, when you try and advocate something of your experience, right, and something you've personally dealt with, as I liken to the Black Lives Matter movement, and you get the backlash of, well, hold on, wait, all lives matter. No. Stop.
Yeah.
That's not the issue at hand here. That's not what we're discussing.
Right.
You're talking about further marginalising a group of people by saying all lives matter over Black Lives Matter. And that's never where this discussion was meant to be. Let us have our space. Let us talk about our experience. Yeah. Then you get into the lived experience. Now, this is thus where it gets tricky. There's something to be said about that and how you negate the world through your own personal experience of things that have happened to you, how you live and what you do. I live my life on very many different tangents, but one of the things I can never not shake from my focus of the world is a point of view of a person of colour. That's me,
yeah.
Right? And there's certain things I'm going to experience as a person of colour that somebody might not experience. I feel I have the right to say that and share that in public audiences. People who know me know I talk a lot about race. In more often years than not, because it's really become a stumbling block of a lot of people and the conversations we have. A, we need to have these conversations, but B, understand it's my experience. I'm not speaking or taking up the mantle for 25 other million Black people all around the world, right? It's something innately to do with me. Understand that. You were talking about your experience. How are you going to drag someone for their experience, right? And it gets really, really tricky because, and if you can relate all this back to, as someone who deals with living a certain experience, when people come at you with bullshit, with a certain level of maybe not understanding where you're coming from, rather than trying to gauge a better, larger conversation and not letting you do that, you assess it from the point of, are you being ignorant or are you being innocent with me?
Right.
And that's a really tricky, tricky debate to internally always be having.
Yeah.
So are you approaching me with pure, utter ignorance, or you're actually asking an innocent question?
Yeah.
In your case, dare I say, there was a point there, maybe, but I don't think they were coming at it from a position of ignorance. I mean, innocence, sorry.
I think...
If any of that made sense, and I think...
Completely, but I also think there's a degree of kind of political correctness one-upmanship happening that I see a lot online now, where it's kind of like, to me, that those comments on that particular piece I'm talking about almost seemed like a preemptive strike of, like, I mean, that that's obviously, that's not where I was going at all with the piece. And as you said, I'm never going to write a piece opening up like that. And as you say, just putting in brackets like, except transgender women. Not at all.
That wasn't the thing.
That was not the thing at all. And while I appreciate them making that point, absolutely. First of all, on their part, they're making an assumption about me that I'm not aware of that. So you're kind of implying that I'm stupid. So I'm aware that perhaps, yeah, you know, perhaps transgender women may not have uteruses, or all people who identify as women may not have uteri, what do you say? But so I get that, but I mean, then at least I'm willing to say that this is an issue that I don't fully understand, you know?
And that's the thing. It's like, okay, whoa, where are we here?
Yeah, like how do, that was my thing. Like, how did we get here? Like,
I think in the comments, it's like nothing which offers you a chance to have a good discussion about it after.
You can't have it online because, and this is the issue. I don't think you can, because in the context of those people who made those comments, I do think it was coming from a place of kind of PC one-upmanship of like, you know, I'm a great ally, and so I'm going to just check you for that comment because it was kind of wrong. You know what I mean? I think there's nothing I could have said. I can't then come online and be like, okay, yeah, but here's my point. You're not going to tell me I can't reference my uterus in relation to my womanhood. Then I guess they would have come at me saying, well, I'm a bigot and I'm trying to exclude people and et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of, my experience, not that I participate in those kind of discussions online for that very reason, but you see them happening all the time online where nobody listens. And this is part of my issue, is that I'm willing to come forward and say, I do not fully understand transgender issues. I don't need to fully understand it though to accept it. You know, if you want to identify as a woman, have at it. Come on in. I'm not ever going to discriminate against someone on that basis. But do I understand the transgender journey? Absolutely not. I can't relate to it. It's not my experience. But I do everything I can to try and learn and understand and help me get it so I can be a good ally. I'm coming from that position, right? But my issue is when instances like that happen with those comments and things, if I literally can't utter a sentence without someone jumping down my throat, where do we then go? Where is the forum for open and honest conversation? Where can I then learn? Where can I have these conversations that we need to have in order for us all to reach that point of understanding and acceptance? Where can we go? I get really concerned when I see people who are asking kind of, you know, honest and open questions online, getting constantly shut down by the PC police. It just kind of negates even having a conversation. And it's like, but we need to have them, you know?
We need to. Most definitely. And I think this is the thing about getting dragged, particularly for your experience, right? And your innocence of just saying, hey, this personally relates to me.
Yeah.
And then getting a million clapbacks. Like, a mate of mine wrote a brilliant piece, actually, for ID Magazine recently. And talking about being a light passing person of colour. Right? Google it, find it, read it, it's great. And I was like, I could totally get it. I appreciated it. A, not only because it's my mate, but it was a well-written and thought-out article and just saying, hey, this is my experience, guys. Like, putting it out there, the level of draggage was unreal and really, really not called for. What are you meant to do if you're trying to communicate a touch point, which is directly connecting to you, right? It totally comes from a good place, but it's very, very personal to your experience as a person, how you navigate the world. And someone's going to be like, no, stop. Political correctness gone too far, one-upmanship, and all this. And I think also we're living in this time, right, where a lot to be said of the Twitterati and the Twitter elite. People who just like, this comes at you, this comes at you, you can't do this, you can't say that. Like, I'm going to assert my mode of belief over your personal experience because that's what I think is right.
And because and that's just, how we're supposed to act as a society.
Yeah,
now.
And I wince at that because where's the space for discussion? And I know, like, well, you know, these aren't easy things to talk about. There's some things that you just can't. But that's why I said, like, are you coming at people or are you receiving this with a position of ignorance or position of innocence? Innocence prompts more discussions, right? I may not like how someone had asked me something, but okay, let me assess your innocence, right? Let's now have an open-ended conversation about that. I don't see it as my role, and, you know, particularly going to relate it back to race as being the spokesperson or my then philosophy or what I share with you and what I say about my personal experience should be the only viewpoint and perspective of blackness that you there have and take onto the world. But we've had a dialogue. Or are you completely ignorant and you don't want to learn or you don't want to listen and you want to shut down this conversation? It gets harder and harder and harder to navigate these types of conversations and drag people for no good reason. And it's just, it's really frustrating. At what end do we stop? At what end do we just sit back and be like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, it's a really, really tricky and tenuous thing. And I don't want to a certain extent, stop having those conversations. I think they just need to be more fruitful and more open for more perspectives, and more people need to listen first. I don't think there's a lot of listening going on. There's a lot of clap backing going on.
It's
for the sake of it.
Everybody's on the defensive.
For the sake of it.
Everybody's on the defensive. And before anything has even been said, I feel like everybody's got walls up, everybody's guarded, everybody is ready to clap back at something.
And there's things that you need to. Look,
absolutely.
I love a good clap back.
Of course.
Yes.
When it's needed, I'm here for it.
And when it's needed, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But there's some things where it's just like, particularly with shit, like, call me out, people. Are understanding, I would say, I've always been attuned to understanding the different fluctuations of gender, right? Gender for me and how I see it is very much as a performance. There is the biological, your X and Ys and whatever, but there's what you do with it and what you make it your own. Moving on into something like transgender rights is very new to me, extremely new to me. So I hold my hands up for being like, I may need a bit of education here, guys.
Babe, this is what I'm saying. Like, can we get a bit of time? This is a relatively new thing in the culture. I get it that it's been going on for centuries for some people, but for the culture in general, it's relatively new.
You know,
can we get a second to get our heads around it, please?
And there's some great articles on this. Like, one I wanted to refer to, this I think it's called The Transgender Tipping Point. You know, the rise of Laverne Cox, and props to her for being a beautiful, amazing, eloquent and just badass woman. Like, I totally mess with her in that way. But in her coming through, and then Caitlyn Jenner, and then we hear of, you know, the really terrible tragic things of trans people being murdered, and how many have we got this year? But I think it's fair to say, you know, and I am erring on caution, it's a fairly new thing, not a phenomenon. I don't want to sensationalize it, but it's a fairly new thing for people to get their heads around, to see it in the public sphere. I'm not saying it hasn't been going on for years, but for it to now be a national point and talking point of conversation.
But this is where I'm completely with you, and this is where it kind of becomes a bit of a sticking point for me, because it, as you said, it is somewhat quote unquote relatively new in terms of us in the culture.
It's trending, it's mainstream, it's popping, like,
and I get that obviously for transgender people, they are living this experience, so it does not feel new to them at all. But in terms of it being part of the cultural conversation where it's being discussed openly, really quite new, right? I don't recall when I was a kid this kind of thing ever being discussed. Even when I was a teenager, I don't recall ever being aware of transgender people. I don't, and that I know that sounds mad ignorant, but I don't recall it ever being a thing, like, that was talked about.
It's not like, it's, and this is where, this is the thing, like, is it, it's not necessarily ignorant, it's just...
But the thing is, where
it's not something you've have accounted, where other people could say, like, and that's where maybe an issue of race comes in, like, how do you not, like, you see it daily, clearly, come on now, this is a conversation embedded in a lot of fabric of nations, like, do you get that? But in understanding, I think that, to just bring it back to that fluctuation of gender, like, to me, understanding gender is what I know, it's been performative, all the other, you know, Jesus, what, let's bring in the McKinsey scale here, let's talk about the LG and the B, before you then get to the T, like, that tick off is a given. Like, this is fucking new.
Yeah,
and
completely.
I've then been, as I read and as I try to gain an understanding and try and be present in conversations to a certain extent of what it means and what it is, and then how can then you turn yourself into a better ally, like you were saying earlier. You err on caution for being fucking dragged for, like, seeming ignorant. And you're not. That's the thing.
You're trying to find out.
You're just sitting there like, bro, blood.
Exactly. Like, I'm here. I'm trying to learn. But can I get a second to get my head around it? I just think it's kind of, you know, Caitlyn Jenner came out and then we're all expected to understand transgender politics and, you know, transgender issues. As a society, it's like, okay, Caitlyn Jenner's here, we're meant to get it now. And I think if you express any sort of opinion or you take any kind of misstep in a sentence, well, then you're transphobic. Well, no, actually, I'm just, can I get a second to try and get my head around it and understand it so that I can become a good ally? You know what I mean?
And this applies to a lot of things. Yeah. I think this applies to a lot of things. And I'm all for conversation. You know, I'm all for the sticky, icky conversations, the fucking uncomfortable ones.
Where you've got to have them.
Like, you have to confront your inherent biases,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few feathers have to get ruffled, and we need to have a talk about these things, because there's a point at which you don't, that you miss the point of... Education is the wrong word, but you miss the point of interaction and you go off into your separate spheres again and you just live out the bullshit. You just live out the bullshit. But in how conversations are about these really tricky things, and it could be everything, like, are we creating a space, an environment? Are we leaving innocence open here to have a full-on dialogue, right? For someone to throw their hands up and be like, yo, man don't really know all this, but I'm prepared to understand it.
Girl,
you know?
that is it right there.
It's in the conversation, because, you know, I could read 20 million think pieces and still not have a fucking clue until I talk to someone.
Right.
But I don't want to be kicked back down for not knowing.
I understand
also when it's not my place in a conversation to say everything.
Completely.
But I think this brings it back to, like, our negotiation of political correctness, or just really uncomfortable fucking conversations on how we're navigating this as people. Like, man, tell me if I sound like a broken record, but to me, it's like this innocence and this ignorance. Like, I will take the question, I will assess it, and then I'll be like, where are you coming at it? But there's been a certain amount of times in my life where people have asked me questions about race where I've just had to be like, huh, all right, let's talk. Let's talk. Not that my voice is the sole voice, but I'm in promoting and trying to have an open dialogue as best as I can, right? To bring that person in a little bit, and then for me to learn something in return. Like, you don't get far without talking about shit. And there's a lot of things coming to the surface in the world today, in our society today. A lot of shit's getting checked. A lot of people are getting a clap back. Like, there's global issues. There's points of difference everywhere, right? And that thought is coming out. But we need to be very cognizant about those conversations we're having around them to make sure not so much people feel safe. I see where there's a reason where that doesn't work, but that space of conversation, voices can be heard, you know, and maybe it applies in some places and it doesn't in the other, but can we talk about this space? Like, I remember a professor telling me, like, a student dragged her for not having trans rights on the syllabus. And she was like, hold the fuck up. Like, wait. Why? Like, I get it. I get why it's needed. But in what we've arranged for 12 weeks of a course, why are we just going to throw that in there? Like, do I know about the scholarship in itself to put that in there? Because you're going to be looking at me to answers and I might not have them answers. Like, if you can hear the exasperation in my voice, it's because it's a whirlwind of a discussion, people. And at one sense, I'm like, Lamara, go down here and say this. But then, you know, you've got to check yourself with that and bring it back to that. Like, it's hard. Do you understand how hard this is to be having these conversations about how we can do this, but you know?
Part of the thing is...
Bruv, did that make any sense?
No, it completely did. And, you know, me and you talk on these kind of levels all the time. And I'm so glad that we do. On and away from podcast, but part of my thing is just the importance of having those conversations and being open to those conversations. And that, unfortunately, the culture online now, if someone is to kind of innocently ask a question or make a misstep in the way that they phrase something, and then they're deemed to be transphobic or racist or whatever the case may be, because they tried to start a conversation or be involved in a conversation or just simply ask a fucking question and they got dragged online for it, well, then what do you think that does for that person? Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, do you think they're then going to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to continue to keep trying to have this conversation elsewhere. I just want to get answers and try and be a bit more open-minded. No. They're going to retreat back into themselves. They're going to reinforce the view that they have that may have been at one point a little bit ignorant, but if they'd have been able to have that conversation, their mind could have been opened a little bit. But no, now they're going to regress into themselves, and whatever that little belief was is going to grow. And then you're going to end up with Trump supporters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? Extreme example, but do you know what I'm trying to say?
To what you just said, sorry, like, I reminded yesterday, I listened to a podcast. Man, podcasts are life. Not even just ours, but like, it's how I'd rather listen to a podcast than be left alone with my thoughts sometimes. Mm. And there's a brilliant one called Love and Radio. And the latest episode, it's called The Silver Dollar. And I'm just going to read the blurb. The blurb is now one sentence, so I'm going to make up the rest of it. It's a story of Daryl Davis, who's a musician, a piano player of some sorts. I'm not too sure in which American city he's located, but
I listened to this week. Sorry.
Did you listen to that?
Yeah, it's so good. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I did listen to that. It's so good.
So it's a piano player, and he plays a particular type of, dare I say, jazz or folk or something. I wasn't really attuned into what the type of music he was playing. But he's in a bar with his band and a guy comes up to him and he was like, I haven't heard, you're the best black person I've ever heard play the piano that way since Jerry Lee Lewis. Disclaimer, I have no idea who Jerry Lee Lewis is. Don't drag me. Send me a nice relevant link of music to listen to. But he was like, what do you mean? It's like, you know, because black people never play that type of music. And that guy, Daryl, was saying, actually, Jerry Lee Lewis learned this style of music from black musicians in the South. And I know him. He's a personal friend of mine. And he said that. But the main point here is that the guy he was talking to turned out to be a member of the KKK, right? So at that point, I was like, nah, fam, I'm done. Like, drop me off. But Daryl, I mean, because in my world, I cannot fathom that interaction, but whatever. But Daryl was like talking to this guy. The guy who pulls out his clan card. He exchanges numbers. He's like, anytime you're in this part of town and you're playing, I'd love to listen to you. And I'm just like, you're bugging. But the guy then went on, and this is the thing, like, he's friends with, at the time, members and Grand High Wizards of the KKK, who are now have left the organization. His thing was, how can they judge me if they don't know me? And I'm trying to relate that back to the last point you were just talking about. How can these people say all these things about me and you know, tarnish me with this brush if they've never had the privilege of having a conversation with me? And that's where, like, it's a really interesting podcast and I urge everyone to listen to it. It's a very, very interesting episode. But that's where he had got to. Like, if you're not going to have this conversation with me and you're going to go on centuries of things and indoctrinated racism, xenophobia, downright critical and tarnishing stereotypes of what you think I am, and you're not going to have that conversation with me, I'm going to bring that conversation to you. And he did. Numerous times over, and it gets weirder, but that's the my point of having that conversation. Props to him for feeling brave enough to do that. Like I said, drop man out, but there's something to be said there about just promoting the conversation so that God, both sides can listen and learn. And if that's too idealistic, then fuck it. Like, but there's something there in that. I think there's a worth in that, you know?
Man, I just think that's your responsibility as a human. To be a well-rounded person involves conversation. It involves sometimes hearing some shit you maybe don't want to hear. It involves different points of view and just entertaining that. You might decide you don't agree with it. Cool, but at least you heard it out. I read a really great piece a while ago that was doing the rounds online. I'll have to try and dig it out and I'll post the link eventually somewhere. I want to say it was like Time magazine or someone did this really great piece about kind of how university students at the moment are being basically kind of babied. There was like this big uproar, some university in the States, somebody was going to speak at the university and all the students protested because this person basically had a view that they did not agree with. And it's like the university were a bit like, well, that's life though sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like that's life, that you're going to have to hear some opinions that you might not want to hear. And in classes, in some American universities now, I guess, students are requesting that certain issues are not covered. Everything comes with a trigger warning now, which I think trigger warnings are bullshit. Sorry, I do. Because again, that's not life. You are going to you're going to encounter situations in life. You don't always get a warning beforehand. And it's not a good way to deal with whatever issue you're going through to think that you can just put all these walls up and think, I'm going to protect myself from that. And no one's ever allowed to discuss said things within my presence. That is bullshit. And it's about kind of, and if those, especially this is within the context of American universities, this particular piece, if those quote unquote rights of the students are tread on even in the slightest bit, there's lawsuits flying about, there's kind of, you know, protests here and there and everywhere, and it's like all these kind of what they're calling microaggressions about these potentially kind of minor issues, but it's like everybody wants to be offended by something. When actually, can we just have a conversation first before you, then you can decide if it's actually offensive.
With microaggressions though, like having experienced them on the regs, like miss me out of that. Like I will clap back. Like, are you, is that a microaggression? Like, But yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying. Like spaces for conversations are like vitally important. And I think,
but especially just to continue my point about, I'm sorry, just while I have the thread, but within American universities that's happening, and then these students graduate and they're going to go into the workplace where it's like, baby girl, you don't get coddled like that. People are going to have opinions that you don't like, and you're not going to get to protest it at the workplace. Like, do you know what I'm saying? You have to be able to agree to disagree with people. You have to be able to hear people out. That is life. And I think it's really, really concerning when educational institutions are entertaining that level of bullshit and mollycoddling these young people into believing, oh yeah, that's okay actually. Oh, you don't want to hear about that? Cool, we'll take it off the syllabus. Bullshit. You'll listen to it.
That's not going to happen in the real world. That's not life.
You'll listen to it and digest it. And then and only then, if you decide that it is a thing that you do not agree with, cannot stand by, want nothing to do with, cool. If after you've listened to it, you can decide that. But you can't. To be a well-rounded human, you absolutely cannot take that stance on things in life. Hence why when that thing happened to me, I was like, I mean, yeah, I sighed and I eye-rolled. But I was like, okay, let me take a step back and think, did I actually make a misstep there? And I've concluded, no, I don't think I did, because I was coming from a genuine place. But like, I'm open to the conversation.
Did I say
something
wrong?
Right.
Did I?
Right.
No.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did. But my point is, I understand, I appreciate where these commenters were coming from. I appreciate the sentiment of like, cool, I love that you're here for transgender rights and you're here for inclusion and all of that. Me too. Me too. And I'm not going to apologize for an affront that I don't feel I intentionally made, right? You took it that way. Right. I don't feel it was not intended that way from me. So please don't try and tell me my intention because you don't know it. Please don't try and tell me that I was out to offend people with that because I wasn't.
You weren't.
Please don't try and tell me how I am allowed to define my own womanhood. Please do not.
And that's, oh, so there's, that's brilliant. And I'm looking at this article. I would implore people to read it. It's called What Makes a Woman by Eleanor Burkett. And it's on the New York Times. And she kind of, she's saying what you're saying, like, my womanhood and who gets a right to talk about that, to define that. Particularly, it's in reference to something Caitlyn Jenner had said. And I wonder if, should I read this line?
Do it, please.
Shall I? Go on then. I'm just gonna, it's bars upon bars of beautifulness. But there's this, something keeps sticking out to me here, right? And it's like, she's saying, sorry, I'm literally scanning the article trying to figure out what to say because there's so many brilliant lines here. But something is like, their truth is not my truth. Their female identities are not my female identities. They haven't traveled through the world as a woman and been shaped by all that this entails. And that was directly as a clapback, like, to Caitlyn. But again, it reiterates to me the experience here, right? And how you go about talking about your own and whether or not you have the right or not to get dragged for that. Sorry, I probably did that article a little bit of disservice. I would implore everyone to go and read it because I just think in reference to what we're talking about and Bangs's last point, it really does hit the nail on the head there.
I feel like you want to expound on that, but
I do, but I'll save one will save it for another time, if that's okay.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. I think, have we covered
everything we wanted to cover?
I feel like we have. Okay. Like, you have no idea. So I'm going to tell them, like, last week when we were doing, you got to do the work, you got to put the rotted work in, an hour and a half before we got to that, we were talking about this. And we were like, do we do it in the cool bullshit segment? How are we going to touch this, bruv? Like, people are going to drag us for this. But then we've just realised, like, in the essence of the No BS Guide to Life and, like, what we set ourselves up to be, it's just, like, we just have frank, honest fucking conversations between each other. Like, that's what me and you do.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where I came in and I was like, I don't get it to a certain extent as well. Like, the education on it that I'm missing, I'm not denying it. Mm. That's the whole way we started this out, right? We're not denying it. But there's some more things I need to know in order to have all the arsenal of information at my hands, right? Did I ever feel scared or a bit apprehensive as to raising that? Hand up, yes. Because you know the reaction people are going to give you.
Yeah.
So, like, this is conversation that we've had between ourselves, erring on, like, how do we talk about this amongst ourselves? But realizing that if we just have this conversation between ourselves, we're locking out a vast amount of opinion. People from an experience of where it matters who can tell us or teach us or show us or let us in on a thing or two, right? And this is what I'm talking about, really, about conversation. Like, it's nothing if it just stays between me and her.
Yeah.
Right? Where is that other voice gonna come in? And I totally think, like, in one sense, I'm not here for, like, let's be as brave as my man Daryl and go and sit across the table with the KKK and let's it's not all kumbaya, let's go up hand in hand and ring-a-ding a rosy around the park. But there's the space for conversation. There's some things which just allow a little bit more recognition of your own personal experience, and then the allowance of someone else's to come in to just have this dialogue, right?
And I think the...
Especially if it's coming from a position of innocence. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I think that, kind of premature clapbacks and things are preventative. They prevent people from having difficult conversations, you know? I think while the internet is wonderful and used to be a place where people could have that in the age of innocence on the internet, but unfortunately, we have reached that place where everything's an argument, everything's litigious, everything can get you in trouble.
Ooh, brilliant.
I think, those commenters were preemptive strikes against kind of anything that may have come up from me not mentioning or supposedly being inclusive of transgender women within that post that I wrote. And I think going in there with that kind of like, oh, wait, let me stop you there because this, and this. Well, actually, no,
that
don't stop me.
Down.
That shuts us down. You're avoiding having a difficult conversation, right? So I think the final point that I would want to make here is surround yourself with open-minded people who are willing to get into conversations with you, who are willing to engage a dialogue. Be open-minded in yourself. As I've said numerous times throughout this podcast, I do not know or understand everything that there is to know about transgender rights, but I'm here for it. I want to understand. I want to be a good ally. I want to be inclusive in my life, in my work, and everything else. So I'm open to it. I want to have those conversations. Educate me, help me understand. That's the point of view that I come from in many things in life that I don't know about, right? And I think that's healthy. I don't want to be shot down for asking questions, right? And I just think the internet is a place that many of us go to try and find answers. And I think it's the responsibility of all of us to be able to engage in a good and healthy dialogue about whatever comes up, you know? Just be open-minded and listen, or you end up like a Trump supporter.
I think everything in life reverts to, and you're going to be a Trump supporter.
Do you want to be a Trump supporter?
Like, I mean, didn't take the trash out, you're going to be a Trump supporter.
You're
going to
be a Trump supporter. You know, that's what that leads
didn't
to.
Didn't file your taxes on time, man's going to be a Trump supporter. That's, the threat of that is real. Be prepared for when I immigrate back, people. Respects me and brings me back with open arms. But yeah, like, no, cosign everything you said there. Like, there is a space for good, well-intentioned conversation, people.
Yes, that's all we're trying to say.
That's it. That's my takeaway. There is that space, there is that possibility of having the time to understand someone else's experience, knowing your place in talking about it, but just having that conversation.
And stop getting preemptively offended, and stop getting offended on other people's behalves. Everybody has their own agency. You're taking people's agency away from them in getting offended on their behalf. Like, stop being offended prematurely yourself. Stop being offended on behalf of other people. Open your fucking mind. Have a fucking conversation. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
I don't know why I got really aggressive at the end. I'm sorry.
I do
feel strongly about that, though. I think that's what is kind of preventing a lot of conversations happening as well. It's like everybody wants to be offended by some shit. Well, actually, if you just listened, you might find that really there's nothing for you to be offended by within a certain conversation.
Sometimes there isn't. Like with with what you were saying, I didn't think anyone should be offended by that. Mm. Like there's gonna be time where there's some real uncomfortable shit that we all have to go through, and no one's going to like it, and this is what's going to have to be said.
Sure.
But it purely comes from a position of innocence. Blood, fall back, don't drag me.
Recognize what it is.
Done.
Yeah. Man, I feel like I need a massage or something now. Okay, yeah. Well, high five to us for tackling that, because that was like a difficult conversation, man. But we had it. At least we had it. So, listeners, I hope that you this week will have some difficult conversations, or that you'll at least be like open to having difficult conversations, you know? I think that's the only point that we wanted to make, really. It just took us an hour and 4 minutes to make it. But...
Yeah, if that's it, that's it. That's the takeaway.
Yeah. Do you have any words to live by this week?
Oh, my God. You go first.
Sure, because you haven't thought of any. Great. I will draw for my people. Let me ask you, do you, I am a paper diary type of person. I can't do all that Google Calendar BS. So I do still have a paper diary that I write in and keep all my appointments in. And my preferred paper diary of choice is one that's called Passion Planner. If you don't know about it, get to know about it. It's amazing. You can pre-order yours for 2017 pretty soon, I'm sure. Anyway, I won't go into how wonderful it is. Just Google that shit, innit? But anyway, they have these kind of phrases on each at the beginning of each week. So here's the one that was at the beginning of this week just gone, which is a quote from Leonardo da Vinci, no less, which said, it had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things. Oh. So I hope that you all go and happen to some shit this week. I'm going to happen to all sorts of shit this week.
Happen. I got some words.
Do it.
Real talk.
What did you just Google? What did you just Google right now?
No, I meant it as like...
Kidding.
No. It's not something I Googled. So I do this thing where if I'm having a dope conversation with a friend, I will probably write down the notes of the conversation when they drop bars. I'm like, think on that, Lamara. Let that marinade, come back to that. And it's a conversation I have with a mate this week. And one of the things that came up was, where you make your mistakes, that's where you learn the most. Personally holding on to that, not everything is perfect. There's a lot to be said, as we said last week, in putting the work in and trying and getting through all those frustration points to before the product. Being afraid to mess up and not can kind of stop you and prohibit you from trying, right? But where you have those mistakes and where everything's not perfect is actually where the real work and all that good stuff is. So that would be my words of wisdom. Next week, I will totally prepare a bit better.
I feel like those were good ones for an unprepared words of wisdom.
Because managers always surrounded themselves with people that drop the bars of wisdom and like who talk that good talk. Mm. Do that for yourself, people. Have them conversations. I'm done, bruv.
Wicked. All right, where can people find you online?
They can find me back on Twitter.
Holy shit. Oh, okay. Have we stopped the strike? Is the strike over?
Jesus. No, I had to pull back because I was working on something. And so you can find me on Twitter at lemel_p. Send me articles, send me good stuff, send me things you think I should be reading. You can also find me on Medium. I write occasionally. And that's the same at Lemel P is my Medium. Those are the only two things you can find me on.
Fabulous.
What about you? I know yours already. Bangs is all over it.
First of all, I would just like to say Lamara is probably not going to big herself up, but she wrote a really great piece on Medium this week about South by Southwest, and I think you should all read it because it's really great.
Thank you.
So well done, boo, because it is really good. You can find me online at Bangs in a Bun on all of your preferred social media channels and my website, bangsandabun.com.
Guess what?
What?
Speaking into existence, we're going to have a website next week.
Holla! But we've got an email already, right? Can people email us?
Oh, yeah, people can email us.
People, we want to hear from you. So Email us with your thoughts and anything you want us to talk about and discuss. Anything that you have to say on this week's episode, because we know it was a bit controversial. So, yeah, holler at us. Lamara's going to give us the email address now.
I am, you know.
Because I surely don't know it.
I really... Oh, God. I really think it's the no BS guide to life at gmail.com. Don't quote me, but we'll get it put up underneath like the audio and I'll tweet it out now on my Twitter and bangs or two. Yes. But yeah, like ask us shit.
Ask us shit if there's things you want us to talk about, if you've got comments or questions or concerns or anything about any particular episode. And we'll read your comments out and shit on the podcast. We'll do all of that.
Let's create a dialogue.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. All right, man. I'm out.
It's
Easter. Happy Easter. I've got to go find some Easter eggs with my cousin.
Peace. All right. Later, people. Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.